right, welcome in, folks, to the Can We Kick It podcast. I'm co-host Mike, along with Chuck here.
Mustard!
We are coming to you live post-Super Bowl, folks. Chuck is on a Kendrick Lamar rant.
That's right. I definitely love the halftime show. Love the entire game. Was perfect when, according to plan, for anybody outside of Kansas City,
Oh yeah.
for sure. So,
Super Bowl was last night. Interesting outcome. You've been watching anything else recently? You've been hitting on reruns.
A lot of reruns. I did finish 1923.
Oh boy.
I watched like the last 15 minutes of the season finale, and it didn't get any better. It just continued, got worse.
I knew it.
So that show, they did pay like 5 minutes in the finale on the only storyline that I like in the show. But yeah, there's definitely a formula for all these Taylor Sheridan shows, and it's kind of like elevated soap opera is what I would call it, but I don't know.
Streaming soap opera. Yeah. No, I get it. Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was, that's about it. I mean, rewatching Righteous Gemstones and, getting ready for that. And, watched some of the last White Lotus, but then like, I think we watched like half of season two, and then I showed Blanca the trailer for season three, and she's like, oh, it's not the same, you know, the same people aren't coming back. Like, why am I watching season two? Or do you know what happens? I'm like, I don't know. You wanted to
Anthology.
rewatch it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this Sunday, next Sunday coming up. So
can't wait, dude. Oh, White Lotus is back.
yeah. What about you? What are you watching?
I've been watching the Bookie on Max, or HBO, whatever you want to call it. I'm going to call it HBO, whatever. I've been watching Bookie. It's this Italian comedian guy. I'm not even going to butcher his last name. And like he,
Maniscalco?
yeah. He and like his like partner, who used to be like a player in the NFL, who I guess got injured and lost all of his money. He's got like four like baby mamas. And dude, it's fucking hilarious where they like are trying to get money back from people, and they're just really struggling to keep this like sports book alive, and it's illegal in California. So they're like trying to keep the cops off their back. And then, oh dude, it's just really, really funny. It's same guy that did Two and a Half Men, Chuck Lorre. It's just really funny, man. I recommend that to anybody. The second season just finished on HBO. And I'm behind. I'm just about to start season two. So that's been a good one. Yeah.
Nice. I'll have to check that out. The only other thing that I was thinking about was American Primeval on Netflix, about
Yeah.
Brigham Young. But yeah.
I need to watch that. Yeah. Yeah. Other than that, man, getting cranked up for White Lotus, and then you know, we got some other shows, but we're still right in the thick. What are we, halfway now? Eight episodes of Severance, maybe 10, I don't remember.
Yeah.
We just finished episode 4, which was Woe's Hollow. And I don't know about you, this was another acid trip. This episode was wild. Maybe the best episode so far of the season.
Woe is me, for sure.
Yeah.
It was definitely, I like these kind of stylish, you know, episodes. It was definitely like a wild acid trip, very contained. I think, so it's supposed to be 10 episodes in season two,
Okay, all
so
right, we're
we're
almost
not
halfway.
even, yeah. So, basically, it was such a great stylistic episode, and I wouldn't call it like a bottle episode because you could, it takes place in the same place. We're not really moving around.
It has implications. That's what keeps it being a bottle episode.
It's not just like digging into history. I mean, the assumption is this is taking place after Mark has been reintegrated, and you get like one little clue that that would be the case. So it's still like kind of not clear. Like, is this like a month or the next day after Mark gets reintegrated? I would assume it's pretty close because he only had like one little,
Which,
glitch. Yeah. So, we definitely, thought that like we'd never see any Audi or out any Mark or Audi Mark again. But we definitely do see any Mark the entire episode except for the glitch in the tent. But definitely, what a well, like, scenic view into upstate New York filming location. But apparently all the snow was real, like there's no CGI. They shot it like on location, and nothing, it just turned out like to be perfect.
It's amazing.
So I think I have a lot of questions after this after watching this episode, especially the second time. But we can definitely run through the episode and try to figure out what's going on.
I got some notes to kind of get us through the episode. It's really interesting, right? Because the episode opens up. We've never been at the innings have never been outside other than their excursion, right? So the team wakes up outdoors in the snow, just out in the wilderness. They're not like they don't have like a piece of paper to be like, hey, it's cool, don't freak out like you're outside. Nothing like that. Irving is like out on the ice on the lake. But like everybody else wakes up like on top on the top of the cliff. I don't know what the metaphor there or the intent of that is, but it turns out they're inside Dieter Egan National Forest. We find that out a little bit later, but to set the scene, they're in a national forest that is named after one of the Egans.
And then, you mentioned Irving's on the ice. Mark is up on the hill. Irving encounters Helena, Heli, on the way up the mountain, just in the middle of the forest.
That's right.
Interesting thing, though, Irving asks her, where did you awake at? And she's like, I don't know. Like, but I mean, we find out in this episode what has been speculated all along, which I was wrong because I thought that'd be too obvious. And then you and 99% of the people are right that it was Helena. But and then Dylan comes out of the woods into the other bluff right across from Mark. And then we see on the third bluff next to them a 1980 elementary school, at least that's what it looked like to me, TV, and I guess it was
TV
a
stand.
DVD player, maybe.
We don't know the type of media. We assume it's a DVD player. That's a great question. I do remember those TV stands in high school. That is the funny thing. I don't think kids these days know what the fuck that is.
No. Yeah, they don't have much like that, I would imagine, but
We get so they all huddle up around the TV, right? And they get this video from Milchek, which is like an ominous PSA. Like it's almost like, hey, the world is about to end and you guys are the only ones left. It's really weird the way he comes off. But he tells them that they're on an ortbo, an outdoor retreat team building occurrence. Occurrence. I don't know why they chose occurrence. It's really interesting and not activity. Super interesting. But he tells them that they are on the hunt to find the fourth appendix of Kier in something called Scissor Cave. And it's a text of such sanctity that it is forbidden upon the severed floor. Because it has to do with dudes playing with themselves, apparently.
We can go into that later as we talk about the story. They're out there. They're going to be out there for 2 days. They've got permission from the Audis. And there's curious thing, there's no plugs. So what is What is powering
They
the
go
TV and the DVD
full Tesla
player?
power. They're just broadcasting power like from a tower.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. Like, you know, as you're watching this, is it, you know, my first mind, okay, this is the simulation, but is it, we don't know what world it is, if this is real, and is there like satellite power or solar power built into these, you know, I mean, we don't know
Are we even
what,
on Earth? Yeah.
yeah, we don't know. So there's not been a, the only thing we know is Cure PE, wherever that is. And again, this whole, they're in Dieter Egan National Forest. In the wide shots pan, you don't see cities, you don't see any sign of anything outside of, we've never encountered anything outside of Kier. And even going back to when you meet the senator, whatever kind of senator, congressman, and his wife, they're in Kier. So you don't even know, like, if this is, if there's a world outside of this. But so yeah, it's crazy. And
So
then
yes.
one,
Yeah, go ahead.
go ahead. On the video, they say that you're basically you're there's going to be clues to guide you along the way. And after the video, when they see, they look back on the kind of thing the bluff Dylan was on, and you see a blurry fake mark, or I don't know what we want to call them, because are they clones? Are they other versions of
Doppelgangers.
themselves in whatever format?
We'll call them
And I,
clones for now. We don't know. It's really weird.
yeah.
That they almost, I mean, from a distance they look like them, but got a feeling
Like
up close they won't be.
bad, like 1995 video game versions of themselves,
Just
you know? Yeah.
pixelated out. Yeah, it's weird.
So.
Like, yeah, they're guided by like these distant clones, copies of themselves, and it's never really explained. Which just to me, we'll talk theory corner, but are we not in a simulation? This is some weird ass shit. I don't
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard
know.
to really assess what's going on here. So,
But yeah, apparently the Scissor Cave is the same place that Kier tamed the four pillars of the mind, or whatever the hell that is. The woe, folly, or frolic. I can't think of the other two, but yeah. There's a lot of
dread and malice.
dread and malice. Yeah, there's a lot of Lumen lore, apparently, in this national forest. Which, did you know that I was going back and looking. Lumen was founded the same year that the Civil War ended, 1865.
Yeah.
So, could this be a breakaway Confederate?
There's a lot of theories about that on Reddit, because even just styles of dress and history, and yeah, there's theories out there that this is like post Civil War, or that the Confederacy may be won, or this is a breakaway
It's weird.
area. Yeah. One other thing, I don't know if this is important, but as they're going to Scissor Cave, the first two twins, as we'll call them, we see is Heli, or Mark first, and then Heli. And then just kind of skipping ahead, the third one we see is Dylan, and we never see Irving by himself as the double until they get to the waterfall and they're all four together, and that's when they run into Milchek. But they start reading the book in Scissor Cave.
It's they finally get to the cave, right? And it's just this book that's just like on a wall with like a light over it. Really great book management, historical book management people. Really nice moist cave for nice dry pages. But we find out that the book is dedicated to Dieter. Which we, I think, find out pretty soon after that is Kier's twin. and it tells a pretty interesting foreboding tale about Dieter.
Yeah, basically, Dieter wants to live his life out in the forest. And then basically, well, we'll go into more of the storytelling at the thing, but also on the way to Waterfall, after they find the book and they're heading towards Wall's Hollow, out of Scissor Cave, they come along a dead seal.
Fucking weirdest
And
thing besides
yeah,
goats.
and then and there's also conversation along the way about Mark says something. I just found this line funny, about Irving. Oh, because Irving's question about like what him and Howie talked about, they had a little moment talking along the path, and then Mark says something about, oh, Irving being upset about what happened to him on the outside, and Irving looked at Dylan and he's like, what did you tell him, dumbass? I just thought that was, because it was kind of like out of the ordinary for Irv, especially any Irv.
He usually is pretty bottled up, right? He's a pretty reserved guy, but you just see him just becoming more and more frayed at the edges just as this goes along. He's on to Helly. He's not wanting people to know about him and Bert. As they're walking along, they come across that dead seal, and Irving is like, "We should eat it." And it's like, "Whoa, dude, hold on a second. Like, that looks disgusting." And they're like, "No, Lumen said they would provide." And it's like him, like, he doesn't have the faith anymore in Lumen, like he did. Like, he was a true
Well,
believer.
and Milchek says Lumen will always protect and provide. But the interesting part is the protecting is like, protect, you're putting four people who've never been outside just in random spots. And then I would argue Milchek doesn't do a great job of keeping an eye on everybody, unless this is the plan, which is partially what I think is,
How does this job not go right back to Cobell, now that he's like been allowed, he's allowed like Helly to become waterboarded. We'll talk about later. But Milchick really screws up in this episode. But it's interesting that they do make it to Woe's Hollow. Cool name, by the way. Love a good spooky name for a waterfall in Corrato. But they get there and Milchick shows up all in white, very, very Jesus of him. Very, very of the company. And he says that it's the tallest waterfall in the world. The fuck? Guess they'll
Well,
believe anything. I don't, yeah.
and they haven't been outside, or they haven't, they don't know the real world, and so they could believe that. The outfits were fire, all
Oh, yeah.
they're in all black, and Milchick's in all white, but great, not look nice and cozy.
Yeah, they had like old clothes on. Like it was like it looked like actual like animal like pelts. Like their shoes were like handmade. It was really weird. Like they were getting the real like Kier Egan like experience where 'cause even like when they like were like getting ready to go to bed, like they had on like suspenders and like an old-timey like panning for gold t-shirt. Like, it was really weird. It was really weird.
They're in a post-Civil War time portal, like they went through a wormhole somewhere.
That's when Milchick takes him up to camp, right? And that's where we see they're gonna have a campfire and luxury meats, I believe he called it.
Copious amounts of luxury meats,
Copious.
and they're going to get to spend the night in the MDR blue tents.
Oh
Like
yeah.
that was the color of the tents, is MDR blue. So we have, and Miss Wong is manning the grill.
Really great for a 12-year-old. Yeah, leave her in charge of fire. Yeah.
And she's playing the theremin, I think is the name of the instrument.
Awesome. Love to see
during
that.
story time. This is where I wrote up my notes, like as all this was happening. I nicknamed this episode True Detective Night Severance.
This would have been a way better like Night Country like show. Oh my God. Yeah.
But it's like Irv is now the knight is like a knight is true detective in like Alaska in this
Yeah.
episode, trying to uncover all the shenanigans of Helly.
Yeah. So, and like all while this is going on, I love that Miss Wong is playing that instrument you
Theremin.
called it. Yeah, theremin, which is really cool. You don't see that very often. And he's like reading from the book like it's poetry. He's telling these stories and how like Dieter dies. Like I don't know if you got better. I got some pretty basic comments on the book, but I bet you got
So,
better wording than I do.
yeah, so basically, Dieter wanted to remain a woodland pauper. And he his eye popped out, his hair became moss. And here he encountered a gaunt bride, half the height of a normal woman. Basically saying, hey, your brother is turning to the earth. She says, now he's nobody's brother, only chaos's whore. And basically because, as Helly says, as she laughs, and when Irving says every word is truth, and she laughs even more. She basically says he turned into the forest because he jerked off in front of his mother.
Yeah. What the fuck?
And this leads me to my this leads me to my one of my questions. Did Rickon write this?
Dude, probably, yeah.
So I because we have Natalie there at the in the last episode talking to him about a, writing like an altered version of his book. Like, or is has Rickon wrote a lot of this work before? Maybe as like maybe as a severed Rickon,
That's
because you know,
probable.
like
Yeah.
it's so it's it
Yeah,
has
we
me
don't know where
questioning
he
more
goes
about
all day.
Rickon.
He ain't at home just hanging kelp all day. Like, that dude is like out of the house. He probably is severed and doesn't realize it. Yeah.
And then
I do like
go
how
ahead.
Helly laughs at it because, like, she just starts laughing and she's like, he's like died because he jerked off. She sounds exactly like somebody who's been told that from birth and, like, been told that's the God's honest truth until. She was an adolescent and she was like, oh, yeah, it's all bullshit. Like,
And there's so many signs that she's not Heliar, and that's part, all the others are basically reacting to it like children learning, listening to Noah's Ark or a story, fables and things that they may take is 100% true because they don't, they're young, and that's just what kind of they're learning, and everything is being soaked in. And that's, I think, where Milchick then kind of chastises Helly and Mark, because then she gets Mark to laugh and go along. But basically, I think part of that is like, hey, bitch, like, I know you're Helena, why are you're like screwing everything up? Because you're gonna make the other innies not
Question.
believe it. Question. When you're part of the whole scam that's going on,
You have more, it's really interesting to be a part of a cult because you have more fun as a follower, but you make more money as a leader.
make more money as a leader for sure. Free thoughts. At work.
I did like the line where Meldrick got pissed off and threw the marshmallows in the fire. Did he say that was for winners? I couldn't remember what he said.
Marshmallows are for team players, Dylan.
Team players, that's it. Oh, I love that line.
When he keeps, and I think it was going after Dylan and saying, like, hey, Remember what I did for you. Even though Dylan did nothing in this, but it's like, hey, these people aren't your friends, and if you do what I say, you'll continue to get all these rewards.
Yeah, it's weird, like consequences like he's never really experienced is really pointed at him when other people are fucking doing it. It's really weird.
And then Milchick basically storms off. Helly and Mark go into the tent. Well, before they go in the tent, Irving starts to question her about the Night Gardener. And basically, Helly destroys Irving by telling him he's just upset because he'll never get to see Bird again. And that causes Irving to go into the woods. Helly and Mark go in the tent to go. To go have sex without Mark's consent of knowing who it is. I mean, this brings, I heard another podcast, but I brought up an interesting point because he thinks it's Heliar, but she's Helena. Is she, are they the same person? But they go in. That's a whole different podcast. We could go into
Theory corner. Yep. Theory corner.
the dichotomy of that, but
Yep.
yeah, so Mark and Helly have their tryst in the tent. Seems like
Smashing.
she's about to tell him, smash and gash. She's about to tell him more about her experience on the outside. She said, like, she didn't like who she was ashamed, and it seems like she's about to talk again. Mark was like, oh, we don't have to talk about it, and then before we switch back to Irving, we see Mark on top, and he glitches and sees his wife, like as
Gemma.
an outie. So,
Yeah.
which was
Because
also
we forget the fact
interesting.
that he's been
Reintegrated.
reintegrated. They make no mention of that after the last episode, right? It's just we're just right out into the woods without even realizing, like, oh yeah, he was reintegrated. So
Yeah,
yeah,
which
he
makes
sees
me,
Gemma. It's really interesting.
which I think sometimes shows do a good job of this, of like kind of letting it settle, like, because we went flew right into reintegration, and then instead in the next episode just like going hardcore into the mechanisms of how that's going to work, we get this episode that we learn a lot. And we will come to a conclusion about Irv possibly, but we get some things answered without having to just spend now the entire time doing more with the integration or reintegration.
You are correct. They do the show does like to let things like simmer because last season we talked about reintegration like for half an hour of the entire like 10 episodes, right? Between Petey and then the lady, I can't remember her name.
Ragabi.
Ragabi. And then it's like never talked about again like throughout the rest of the season. It's all about them like getting out and doing an excursion. And then like now it's just picked up again. So I do like that the show lets it simmer and not overcook it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and it seems like, at least per Ragavi from last episode, that's the only way the innie and outies will get messages, basically, or understand what's going on because of what Mark was trying to do the last episode. And we get to Irving out in the woods. He seems to get turned around and decides to take a nap again along a
Irving just
rock.
stormed off from camp. He was like, "Fuck all y'all, I'm out of here." Takes his torch with him, and Milchick is just like not around. So he's like, "Whatever." Like, yeah, the guy who's
He's
never been
like,
in the woods in his life is just gonna go off in the middle of the night alone.
And and then Irv has the dream, or this was also, this is where another term for this episode that I coined was the upside down MDR. He went into the
I
Stranger
like
Things
that.
universe, into the upside down. And we see Irv at the computer, The initial screen had like 7154 were the only four numbers on the screen, and I'm like, I started like, oh, I wonder what that is, and then eventually a bunch of other shit popped up, and I was like,
Yeah, the
okay, I'm not going
file
to try
name
to
was
figure anything out.
Montauk. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
file name is Montauk. So we don't know what that is, but then we see the whoa lady from the story. To his left, and I'm trying, and in my notes I wrote, I think that was Helly's spot.
Yeah, because he
And
saw Bert. Bert was like directly in front of him.
yeah,
And then he looks
yes,
over diagonally, which is usually Helly's spot from him. And it's the gaunt bride. Oof,
yeah, the
who
gaunt
looked
bride.
creepy. Yeah.
Well, and she represents whoa, right? And
Yep.
like, so I started thinking about. Is Helly representing whoa, or do we even care who each one is supposed to represent, the four pillars?
Right. I think they all change. I think it rotates between the four of them. I think I had texted you after last episode. I was like, oh, they all embody it, right? But I think it rotates. But I mean,
Well, I
Helly
think if
definitely
they.
isn't malicious, but she is now. Helena is, right? So,
Yeah.
because she
Yeah.
definitely
And
in the
then,
first season was more frolic, right? Because she was like, oh, interesting. Let's check this out. Blah
yeah.
blah blah. Yeah.
Well, and maybe that's what the whole purpose is for them to, to have all four at the same time to achieve consciousness, or that's what they're trying to do with Gemma and Cold Harbor, or, so I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. But yeah, the episode kind of ends after that, where Irving wakes up. It's the morning. Everybody, Helly and Irv meet at the waterfall. Helly or Irv starts asking her more questions, and then kind of was like, "Who are you?" Helly was never cruel because she's just been mean to him. And she basically says, "I'm sorry." And he flips out, drags her to Woe's Hollow. This was a John Turturro masterclass. If he doesn't win an Emmy for this episode, because
Standing ovation. Yeah.
this was his award season
Yep.
highlight reel. But he's basically, starting to shout. Helly shouts and gets the attention of everybody. Everybody goes to the top of the waterfall. And he's basically saying, turn her back. She's an outie. She's a
She's a
fucking
mole.
mole.
Yeah.
He says, she's a fucking mole. And then she's an Egan. And,
Who would
and,
have the ability to have their Audi sent
yeah.
into the severed world? He's put it all together, man.
Yeah.
Such a great detective. Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting, right? Because it seems like he's put, like you mentioned, he's put it all together. And it seems like from any perspective, he's solved something, like he's turned from a child into an adult. Or he's, like he's achieved the next level of whatever we're at. And but as she's, he's basically trying to drown Helly or Helena, as we know now. And she shouts out, "Do it, Seth," to turn her back to the innie. And I think Irving says, "Yeah, do it, Seth," or
Yeah,
somebody.
Seth, do
And
it.
then,
Yeah.
yeah, and then,
Great sneer. Great sneer.
and I just love the, like, it's interesting. Dylan is like the looks on his face during this whole thing, and it's interesting that none of them are running down there. Mark's not running down there. He's just kind
No.
of standing there.
Yeah.
But Milchek gets on the microphone and says, turn off the Glasgow block. Now, so the other question is, who's he talking to? Miss Wong is in the forest with, maybe she's not there at the time because she's not in the scene, but my first thing is, who is he talking to? And then basically they get down there, and he and then Irving, once he's turned, she's turned back to Helly, is like cradling her, and like he completely changes his tone
Oh yeah.
because he really liked Helly R. And then she has no idea what's going on now because she's back at the inn. And then basically Milchick fires or tells him to walk in the forest, and that he'll basically it'll be like he never existed, and then gets on the radio and turns him off
Gives
again.
him the death penalty,
Or
basically.
basically, yeah.
As far as
Yeah,
we
and
know.
you do
As
that.
far as we know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think we'll see an outie Irving, but will we see an innie Irving? Because maybe now innie Irving has achieved like what he needed to achieve inside.
Yeah.
What is the outie? What's going to creep in? Has he been in the process of reintegration as well?
Right. Could be. Maybe he's. Maybe he's the guinea pig that Ragabi's worked the kinks out on, right?
Yeah, because she said she's better at it now.
Yeah.
So does that mean Irving, and Irving's been painting the floor, and like, so what is, maybe he's some version of
Yeah.
reintegration. So we don't know, but I doubt that the last we see of him maybe is any Irving. Or does the next episode we go back and Mark say, I'm not going to work without Irving, and then Irving comes back, like they did the first episode of the season where he's said he's not going to work without his
Yeah.
team. So I don't definitely won't be the last we see of him the
No.
entire series. So
Yeah, for sure. It Totoro's too big an actor to walk away from this, especially with the bird stuff not being resolved. Especially since he got on a payphone to talk to somebody, and Bert was watching him from his car, like down the hill. So there's a lot to come from that. I do have one nitpick. I do think it's pretty funny that they just turned four people loose inside this national park where there's a cliff. The same cliff that Kier just jumps from in his 8-bit recordings and
and
flies. So how do
flies,
they know
yeah.
that they can't fly? I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, no, and that's the thing. I mean, they've seen him fly off that cliff as an innie. Why, do they understand gravity? Do they understand the Dylan also says is funny. Whoa, there's no ceiling, because he's
Yeah,
never been outside.
right.
And so you're basically putting four children alone, like on a mountain with
Yeah.
minimal supervision. And, like the way that they just go in with no fear, like into the cave and so that stuff, it seemed odd to me is like, these people haven't been, they seem, the only time that they kind of like in this episode where they seem curious of what's happening is like, or skept, or just kind of childlike was when Dylan said, "Hey, there's no ceiling." And
Yeah.
then Mark, when they show them the torch and the torch, and they're like, "Oh," Mark's like, "Whoa, oh," because they've never seen,
Never seen fire before.
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you think it would be more. That is a good nitpick because you think, and obviously, if this was real life, it'd be more exploring of what's going on, and more
Yeah.
like freaked out by the waterfall or the
Yeah.
cave or, the feeling of the snow, things they've never experienced, right? But
Yeah. Yeah.
the show would be 2 hours long if that was the
Yeah.
case.
Or it'd be really short because they all jumped off the cliff. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, look, he's flying.
Oh, he's flying. Yeah. Yeah. Amazing episode. I think this will probably carry a lot of the award weight, especially for John Turturro.
Yeah.
Second question, if Helena was really Helly, if they were both innies, would they have figured out sex?
Yeah, I mean, I think Helena, like Mark would have no idea what he's doing, right? Unless they gave them books on sex ed, like as an innie.
Because
But
the
I would
only.
imagine they would not, because they wouldn't want the innies, even having those thoughts. So, I mean, Helena would know what to do, and so,
That seems
and
to be the only
Mark,
way that's working out.
yeah.
But yeah, the only sexual thing that they know is, if they've all been, is the waffle party. Like, that's the most sexualized thing in Lumen. I don't know what that's about, but
Well, I'm pretty sure this Dylan, like Dylan, has been there a few times. But I don't know if Mark's ever had that. And Irving's waffle party may be a little different.
well, it is a mixture. Yeah. Yeah,
But yeah,
any wild episode. I don't have many theories out of this. I don't know where it goes from here. What do you got for the theory corner? You got anything else?
my only thing is, it's still kind of, even though I think Dan Erickson basically has said this is not a simulation, like it just feels very matrixy to me, because it, just thinking of the Matrix, like when you're in the Matrix, it's the your perception of the real world, and everything feels and seems real, and or some kind of computer program. And it's like, do they tell the outies, like, even that you're going to be outside? Or, is this a computer simulation? And they're like, hey, we need you down there for 2 days. And basically, when they go down the elevator, there's, you have the Glasgow block. You maybe this is, I don't remember the other list of things, programs, but maybe this is like one of the other programs that we see. And it's like the Ortbo is to test like the ability of all, like how Kier solved all four tempers. Is it testing the ability of, can these all four work together for something? Like, I don't know. It's just very, it just seems that like this is not real. But
You throw in the copies or the clones or twins or top, whatever you want to call them, you throw that shit in there. That's really weird. That was like the most convincing thing for me, that it's like a simulation. Like, they're in a matrix. Like, plus the TV had no cables. Like, that's straight out of the Matrix. Like, when they go into the white room and he just like turns on the TV. The fuck?
So I mean, that's the other thing, but it'll be interesting to see how this fits in the season as a whole. And I really have no idea where this is going. I mean, it's
Where do we go from here? Helena's cover's blown. Irving's dead, as far as we know.
And what happens now? Like, they go back down, it's just Dylan and Mark. Or now is it Helly, and is it the Helly R version,
Or
and
do they
Mark
bring
and
Gwendolyn in from the 5X branch? Like,
yeah.
It's really weird. The show was like a Jackson Pollock painting. There's no symmetry to it. It's really weird.
Yeah. No, and that's I'm trying to not go into Reddit this season, because I want to have like kind of an open mind versus what people are they're speculating on every little,
Everything.
every little thing of what it could mean. But I think, it's recognizing like the bigger clues that you see. So
I did have one last theory from my side, and that it's all We've seen like Soviet Union run country and all this stuff. What if this is like Lumen is like it's a capitalist country that has been taken over by a corporation and they just fucking run everything? It's Lumen.
Yeah, I mean that's
That
I
becomes
mean
cultish.
it's yeah, oh for sure. I mean there's some aspect there's got to be some aspect of like this is either a cult or this is where corporations run the world or yeah.
Something like that.
It's
But yeah, think on that and then think about how they're fixated on water. Lumen's logo basically is water droplets. Woe's Hollow is a waterfall that they claim to be the highest. Bert's outie attributes are that he's a great swimmer and that he values water above a lot of things. There's some fascination with water. Who knows? Damn, this show's good, dude. I don't have anything more to say about it, other than this show's a banger.
no, it's really good, and it's very thought-provoking and very theory heavy, and so far it's very hard to decipher what the overall storyline is going to take us.
It's a very
So,
original show. Yeah, I'll give them that.
No, it's good. And then we have episode 5 coming out later this week.
Which do we know the title for episode 5?
Trojan's Horse.
Woo! There we go. Now we're talking.
So, I mean, the only thing with Trojan's Horse is it, with the whole Trojan horse showing up, like, I mean, it's how we like, I mean, how we is a Trojan horse, right? I mean, that's what I would suspect, but yeah, so here's the last episodes of the season. So 5 is Trojan horse, 6 is Attila, 7 is Chikai Bardo, 8 is Sweet Vitriol, 9 is The After Hours, and the finale is Cold Harbor.
Excellent. We get to find out what Cold Harbor is. Okay.
And that's directed by Ben Stiller.
Oh, dang
So
it.
that'll it should be good.
Interesting. Episode after next is called Attila, like Attila the Hun. Interesting. Who's going to be the warmonger? I like it.
Irving coming back.
Yeah, I wonder if they try to paint Irving as the Trojan horse. Like, he's like Cobell, like he's just infiltrated and that, and then like he like brainwashed Helly into thinking she was an outie. Like they'll probably try to paint him as
Oh,
the fucking devil, dude.
yeah. No, and that's it could be like he was a plant for Regavi or another organization that we don't know about, or yeah.
It's gonna be interesting, man. There's a lot going on with the show. Can't wait to talk next
Or
week about it.
episode 6, Attila could be Cobell coming back.
Oh, that's a good point. She goes scorched earth on them, locks them to their
Yeah.
desk this time. Yeah.
No,
Oh man. Any other thoughts on this week's episode?
nothing else for me.
It was a banger. Yeah, no. Appreciate we got the time to do this and everybody for listening. Check out the podcast platforms, check out the website, kickinmedia.com, check out the Instagram. I don't know where this is gonna go, but I'm looking forward to it. And as cousin likes to say.
Mustard!